Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, the GM of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving. Brad, we really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Sorry there was a little phone glitch there, so sorry I'm a little tardy.
I don't think that's ever happened in the history of this show, as they say that very sarcastically.
Since the last time, Brad.
Let's start with the big news. You signed Jonathan Huberdeau to an 8-year deal, so congratulations on that front. It became this well-publicized dinner that you had with him in Montreal. Go back to how that meeting ended, and what was your confidence level like that you were going to be able to sign him long-term before the season began?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, guys. It must have been a slow, you know, it's a slow news day when people are worried about where I'm having dinner, but no, it was good. And really what it was, guys, is, you know, we know when we made this deal and knowing, you know, Jonathan's time that he spent, it's like anybody. I don't care what any walk of life you're in, whether you're a player in the National Hockey League or whatever business you're in. When you've been, you know, in one place a long time and that's all you know, it's going to be, you know, it's going shock, change is a little bit of a shock. And so, you know, when we made the deal, we wanted, you know, to let Jonathan and McKenzie just sort of catch their breath a little bit. I spoke to him that night. I spoke to him, you know, a little bit over the next couple of days, but just sort of let them get their bearings. And then I thought it was important to go out and visit with them and just spend some face time and not, you know, to me, this is, we're in a relationship. You're dealing with people. It's relationships. We're not dealing with machinery or anything like that. You're dealing with people and there's emotions and there's all types of things. So I just wanted to get a chance to sit across the table from them and, you know, be able to, you know, just spend some time, get to know each other, build a relationship, answer any questions he had about us, give a little bit of insight into, you know, sort of what we're thinking of not only him, but how he fits with our team and the plans of the team moving forward. So, you know, it was real good. I really enjoyed the time with Jonathan. Like I said, he didn't know me. I didn't know him. And I think that's important to just, you know, just have two guys talking a little bit of finding out about each other's families and all those types of things. And in the, you know, throughout that process, I was talking to Alan Walsh, his representative, and, you know, when we got to that point where, you know, Jonathan was comfortable looking at extending and looking at a long-term, you know, long-term agreement with us, we worked away at it and we were able to get to one. So it's a really good contract for him. You know, top players get good contracts. We're excited about having him here for the long-term and, you know, certainly happy to get that piece of business done with.
Brad, I was going to ask you if you did know him, and very often, you know, you would have had a chance maybe at a world championship to cross paths or, you know, along the way. And so you've answered that you didn't know him. And so your goal was to put a face and a story to the Calgary Flames and you know, do it on his turf. Did it surprise you that the contract part of it accelerated as quickly as it did? Were you hopeful that it would, or were you willing to let that play out? Because, you know, and normally you would say, well, it's going to take time for him to see if he likes Calgary or, yeah, you know, or feels comfortable there.
Yeah, great point, Dave. And as you know, you never know with these, you know, every contract negotiation, every, you know, it has its own, you know, it has its own personality and it takes its own time. And, you know, some take longer than others. I guess, Dave, I probably, looking back, probably a little surprised in the sense that, you know, when we first talked, I mean, like I said, I wanted him to at least catch his breath. I know it sort of caught him off guard, and you go through a whole bunch of different emotions. I think we'd had some good discussions prior to getting together. And I think at the point when, you know, we visited for a while, talked after, I think Jonathan, you know, he got to that point where he, as we all do, right, you have to look forward. Listen, we've been through the last couple of months for us. We had two really good players that totally they're within their right, and I have no issues. They made decisions to move forward, and that's the business, and you have to move on. You have to look forward. You can't, you know, sort of curl up in a ball and play woe is me. Our strategies, let's go out there, let's look forward. We've got a situation to deal with it. Let's deal with it the best way we can. And I think that's what Joe was looking at. He kind of said, okay, we made this deal. You know, he's an educated guy about the league. He's been around a long time. He likes, you know, he knows we've got a good team. You know, he spent some time, obviously, as you know, Dave, you come in when you're playing in the league, everybody thinks you spend all these times in these different cities. Usually it's hotel, restaurant, and the rink. But he's been out here for a World Junior. He spent some time here. And as the discussions got going, he was excited about moving forward. You know, obviously, to be able to get the security and get something worked out, I think, appealed to him. But I think he had to be comfortable with the situation. And as much as it's sort of come together quickly, you know, it's been a couple of weeks, and you know how players are. They look at the situation. They're comfortable in it. I know he's had a couple of real good conversations with Daryl, and you know, ultimately we found something that fit for both sides. So probably in hindsight, you know, we were hopeful. You never know how these things are going to go. One of the things we looked at is we wanted to put our best foot forward to see if there was something to get done prior to the start of the season. But we also didn't just, you know, because we'd gone through what we went through, this wasn't, you know, you can't just react or overreact and say, okay, well, we've, you know, players have moved on. We have to do something. We had to make sense for both sides. We felt it did. And we were fortunate enough to get something done.
Joined by Flames general manager Brad Treliving. And earlier this summer, to use your words, Calgary took an unfair hit, and you could tell how much that bothered you. So how important was it to send the message to the team, send the message to the fan base in the city, to acquire a player like Jonathan Huberdeau and now to lock him up for 8 years?
Yeah, you know what it is, guys? I think it's a great city. You know, I'm not from Calgary. I've spent the last 8 years here. We've grown to love it. It's a wonderful community. It's a great place to play. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family. I didn't view this as something that was a long-standing issue of people not wanting to play in Calgary. Listen, we had an issue. We had two players that chose to make decisions well within their right, and I hold no ill will. That's our business. You know, teams. I think everybody, when you get into this, you understand, you know, teams can trade players. The business side of the business can be cold sometimes. Players get to a certain stage in their career, they have every right to make decisions, and that's fully within their right. You deal with it. But I didn't want, you know, our reason for extending Jonathan wasn't to put to end a narrative, but, you know, when I think anybody, you're passionate about the place you work and you're proud of the organization, and when you know when the comment was out there, well, maybe people don't want to be in Calgary, I didn't think it was, you know, we wanted to put an end to that. We wanted to stand up and say, listen, that's a great community. We're fortunate enough to work in a great community. We have got a great fan support. We think we got a good hockey team. So you know, you hear those things and you sometimes take it a little bit personal. But we, like I said, we were in the situation we're in. We think we made a deal to bring in, you know, not only Jonathan, but Mackenzie Weegar, who we're a big fan of. We think he's a real good player. Cole Schwint, who's a prospect that we've looked at for the last couple of years, even going back to his draft year in the Ontario League, and then, you know, a first-round pick down the road. So we're excited about the people we've added. And yeah, we're proud of the place we work and live in Calgary.
You know, in many ways today, it's really hard to change your hockey team, even if you really want to change your hockey team. And in a sense, you've been forced to change your hockey team. And this, you know, and your hope is that this variation is better. But with all of the different restrictions with the cap, and it's been, you know, magnified because of the pandemic, but would you be open to thoughts on maybe a couple of different exemptions to the cap, Brad? And, you know, in basketball, it's extreme. It started with the Larry Bird exemption. Now I think there's, you know, 349 mid-level exemptions or whatever. You know, there's so many different things. Yeah. But would you be open to maybe it's two or three different parts of the CBA that said, you know, if you really, really like a player or don't like a player, you can make a change with some sort of cap exemption?
Yeah, certainly, Dave. I think it's a really good point. And I think, I mean, at the end of the day, listen, the cap, you know, let's call it the cap pressure right now has been exacerbated by, you know, hopefully it's a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic that we've all gone through. And it's affected everybody. You know, it's affected every walk of life. It's affected every business. You know, and certainly, I think way down that list of importance in the world is the NHL salary cap. So let's number one put it in the proper context. So we're not like any other businesses that have had challenges. So, but I think on the greater picture, so it's made things challenging for sure. And we see it even today. Like, it's hard to move money. It's hard to move money, and you've got growth that's going to be stagnated. And it has been for the last couple of years, and probably will be for at least the next little bit, or at least the foreseeable future. So the manager in you always says, yeah. You know, the competitor in you always says, yeah, if there's ways that we could, you know, find ways to manipulate the cap. But at the end of the day, we understand why the cap's here. It's, you know, in terms of the health of the business. And I think if we are hopefully sooner rather than later, we can get to a point where, you know, the way the cap the way the cap functions in terms of revenue growth and you know, I don't know if you can do a whole lot of manipulating to that. Hopefully, sooner rather than later, we're back to a point where the cap is growing as it had been and probably would be without the challenges we've had with the pandemic. So, to me, I think a lot of this pressure that we're seeing right now and have for the last year is a function of going through the pandemic. And listen, the owners took a, and everybody, but the owners took a big hit, obviously. Financial hit when we went through the pandemic where, you know, it doesn't seem that long ago that we were playing in empty arenas and all the challenges that the league went through. And it's, you know, it's because of the league and the ownership that said, listen, we're prepared to bite the bullet here and let's keep the business moving forward. Hopefully we're going to get through this, you know, this cap pressure, sooner rather than later. And we can see a little bit more liquidity in the market. And as you said, you know, the ability to try to, you know, make more transactions, or as you said, try to change your team, because it's difficult right now. But that's the world we live in. I think it'd be difficult to put different levers in terms of manipulating the cap, but hopefully those days are ahead of us in terms of growth, and we can see that thing grow a little bit more.
Brad, my colleague Dave here was just discussing how there really is no downtime for an NHL GM, and you're clearly a testament to that as you're getting stuff done in August. But there's your head coach, and we all have the idea that in the summer, Daryl Sutter goes to Viking, works on the farm, and don't bug him whatsoever. But in truth, how much dialogue do you have with Daryl during the off season, especially when you're making significant moves like this?
Oh, yeah, and that's real. He's been haying the last few days, so he gets the real work. I mean, we think we're busy in here. He's putting in real work up there. But no, I talk to Daryl regularly. I mean, Daryl's not only, you know, we talk on everything of what's going on with the team and how things fit, but he's a tremendous resource. Not only, you know, I think one of the top coaches in the game, but, you know, Daryl's sat in the manager seat as well. And you know, hey, every coach wants to get as good a player as he can. He understands the challenges that you have sitting in this chair, and as we talked about, all the different challenges in terms of caps and those types of things. So I find it real, you know, our conversations are great, and he's got a real appreciation, having been through it, having managed for a long time, of the challenges. But he's a great, you know, not only a great, you know, he's a great resource, but he, as I've said many times, he's got a real great mind for the game, not only how it's played and all the rest of it, but in terms of team building, in terms of, you know, where he sees players fitting within a team structure. So no, I find ways to get him off the tractor, make sure that he's he's involved in everything and knows exactly what's going on, and get his opinion before we do anything.
That might be one of your great skills as a GM to be able to do that. But, Brad, congratulations on getting the deal done, the trade done, and we appreciate you joining us here on Overdrive.
Yeah, good chatting, you guys. Have a great rest of the summer, okay?
Good luck with everything, Brad. Thanks.